You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, I reached out to three organisations advocating for changes to be implemented to our current welfare system. I spoke with Brooke Fearfear from Auckland Action Against Poverty, Justin Lateef from the Child Poverty Action Group, and Andrea Black, Policy Director at the Council of Trade Unions. They were all critical of the increases to benefit levels, the wage subsidy, and the status of relationships in our current system, all calling for more work to be done. I got in touch with Carmel Cipollone, the Minister for Social Development in Aotearoa, on her response to these criticisms. We start with the wage subsidy scheme.
First being introduced on the 17th of March, the plan has undergone a number of transformations and changes. Many have welcomed the wage subsidy scheme. However, some political commentators have been critical, calling it a business subsidy scheme rather than for wages, that it places a good deal of faith in businesses rather than employees. So what is your response to this?
Well, I mean, the intention of the wage subsidy was always to try and keep employees attached to employers during a really uncertain period of time where productivity was going to be down, and then later, actually when we went into alert level four, it was going to be non-existent because so many places are going to have to stop working altogether. And what we wanted was for employers to know that they could continue to pay their staff something. We gave them a certain amount but encouraged everyone to make best endeavours to get to at least 80%, so that when we get out of the lockdown period or we get through the COVID period, they are able to resume business. During that period of time, those staff would have continued to receive a income of some sort and remain attached to an employer. So, I mean, to a large extent, the fact that we've paid out $10.4 billion and that covers off around 1.7 million New Zealanders, you know, they were the ones that directly benefited from this in terms of it needing to be passed on. And so I think that it has achieved its objective. At the moment, we're in a what's going to happen next phase, and we're hoping as many of those businesses as possible will be able to resume business as soon as we get into level three or level two or level one, depending on the nature of the work.
So this one is just around Auckland Action Against Poverty. They released a statement on the 15th of March calling for further increases to baseline benefits and to grant people who do not meet residual requirements, such as migrant communities, access to emergency benefits under Section 64 of the Social Security Act. So what has been the Ministry's response to the COVID-19 pandemic for migrant communities in Aotearoa?
So if we look at the Civil Defence and Emergency Management response, that is there for all those that are in New Zealand that need support with essential items, which includes food and also accommodation. And so I know they have already been active in different regions across the country supporting those that are here on work permits with respect to particularly food and accommodation. And in fact, just this week, the COVID Cabinet Committee agreed to an additional $13 million for the Civil Defence and Emergency Management strategy and response. Keeping in mind that CDEM is leading that response, but there's a number of government agencies that are in there as well, including MSD, HUD, and others. And so it is an all-of-government response being led by CDEM, but that's where the support can be found.
I'll just ask another question. Now, this is around the welfare system. The Council of Trade Unions, the CTU, they've been one of the groups advocating for work and income to change their rules around relationships. The definition of relationship on work and income's website is rather vague. They've called to individualise the welfare system, much like the tax system treats everyone as an individual. So what has been the Ministry's response to changing the status of relationships and individualising our welfare system?
So that was something that came through strongly in the Welfare Expert Advisory Group's report last year. So we took on board all of that advice and made it really clear, though, that we weren't going to be able to implement all of those changes in the short term. And so we've done some already. We've lifted abatement thresholds. We've done indexation. We have gotten rid of Section 192 that punished women penalised women who weren't able to name the father of the child. And then there's been a number of changes in terms of the way that MSD offices run and a range of other things. In terms of the relationship side of things, I accept that as a recommendation, but as a government, we've decided in the short, medium term that that is not one of the recommendations or areas that we're going to pursue. That doesn't mean it's not going to be something that we might look at in the future.
Mm. I mean, right now it must be quite a critical time. There could be some people that have found that their partner is out of employment, that they may face this kind of thing. So it is one of those things that I think where everyone is quite strongly advocating for. Another question I got is on the consequences that we've unfortunately seen from COVID-19 has been a large increase in unemployment, which furthermore has led people to accessing work and income. Will there be measures taken by the government to help people who lost their jobs due to COVID-19 to get back off the benefit and ensure future employment?
Absolutely. And so I guess there's a few different aspects to this. One is the income support side. And, of course, we've got what's currently in place, and the MSD are working hard to make sure that that's accessible, but also considerations moving forward for income support and what we might do to continue to support New Zealanders who find themselves out of work. So still decisions to be made about what else we might do moving forward. In terms of employment, we can't open up the MSD offices under Alert Level 3, but what we are going to be doing is setting up 35 employment service centres across the country where we will have our work brokers, our people that are working with industry partners in the region, actively on the phones and trying to look for opportunities for redeployment, upskilling and training, and to support those who find themselves out of work to try and get into employment as soon as possible into something that is appropriate to them. And so that will be one of the actions that we start to run out next week. We'll be improving our kind of digital online offering and supporting people into employment as well, and trying to job match and get people set up as soon as possible where possible. But on top of that, it's not just MSD that's doing work in this space. MB is doing work. Our Minister for the PGF Fund, also our Economic Development Minister, and of course also our Minister of Education, who's going to be very integral to supporting upskilling and training opportunities during this period too. So there have already been, there's already work underway, and that will ramp up very quickly.
Carmel Cipollone, do you have any final closing thoughts for those who are critical of our welfare system?
Oh, look, no one would ever say that our welfare system is perfect. We've committed to an overhaul, and I think we have achieved some major milestones during this time. Is there more to do? Absolutely. And I'll be the first to put my hand up and say there is. And it's a continual, consistent focus on positive change in the welfare system that I'm committed to, and we will keep doing that. And, you know, those on the outside who are constructively critical have the right to be, and, you know, they have a role in pushing us along as a government, and I respect that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.